The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, or ATF, would get new enforcement powers under a bill from Virginia Democrat Don Beyer. Among the provisions, lifting a ban on a national consolidated database of guns sold. Congressman Beyer joins me now for more of how his bill would change the ATF. Congressman, good to have you on.
Thank you, Tom. Very good to be on. Thanks for the invitation.
Now, is this bill something that was requested by the administration or ATF itself?
No, but it follows in the line of the president's gun safety initiatives of the fourth quarter last year, where he doesn't really propose any new gun regulations, no restrictions on the ability to buy or use, but rather follows up on what the NRA has been saying for decades, which is we don't need new gun laws, we just need to enforce the gun laws that are already on the books. And so what we're trying to do is give the ATF the tools they need to actually enforce these laws.
And so what are some of those tools?
Well, to begin with, an ATF director would be a good start. They made the ATF director subject to Senate confirmation. So in the last 12 years, only one nominee from either President Bush or President Obama has been confirmed. So we say, you know, in a leaderless organization, it's tough to get anything done. So we've said the ATF director will be an appointment by the Attorney General, not subject to Senate approval. And we go on to say things like, it's very difficult to track straw purchases. So right now you get a successful background data check. The law, the ATF regulation is you have to erase all this background check data within 24 hours. So if somebody's going to come in and buy a gun once a week over the course of a year for sale, resale in New York or in Atlanta, you can't ever track it.
It sounds like that 24-hour rule is patterned after, like, say you're a coach of children, for example, and you send your fingerprints in and there's nothing that comes back, then they destroy the fingerprints right away.
Yeah. That's exactly right. You know, you can see, obviously, what the gun lobby doesn't want is to create a national database. And we understand that. But the ATF could certainly save them a little longer than 24 hours just to be able to track that. We also have expanded the use of trace data so that right now trace data can't be shared publicly with anyone. What you want to be able to do, like in Law and Order or all those great crime shows, is to use the trace data to solve the crime.
Trace data, in other words, following the serial number of a gun through subsequent sales?
Number, yeah, some ballistic sales also. Yeah, the so-called TR amendments. The ATF is currently prohibited from disclosing trace data to the public, except for annual statistical reports that don't really tell you anything.
Yeah, because there was a proposal a while ago to have the ballistics signature of bullets somehow in a database, and I don't think that ever got enacted either.
No, it didn't. And there's one of the most important things is, you know, we have this proliferation of federally licensed firearm dealers, you know, gun shops. And one of the amazing statistics, Tom, is that there are more federally licensed firearms dealers than there are McDonald's in the United States. And most of them, you know, presumably are pretty well run and pretty responsibly run. But one of the things we want to do in this legislation is require them to keep physical inventories, you know, written physical inventories of what they have. So if there's something that goes missing, you can trace it back. And by doing that, hopefully we'll be able to take the bad guys and push them out of business and keep the good guys in.
Does the federal government have any knowledge of shops that might be licensed but actually don't do business? And why would they exist in the first place?
It's not so much that they don't do business, it's that they don't do responsible or ethical business. We don't want to point fingers at any given shop. And it's been interesting in my district here in Northern Virginia. We've had a couple of gun shops spring up in neighborhoods where people were upset about it. And they say, well, under the ATF guidelines right now, there's really no way you can get rid of them especially if they're doing business responsibly. So we want to give the ATF another tool, the inventories, to make sure that they're doing business the way they're required to.
We're speaking with Virginia Congressman Don Beyer. And, who else do you have joining you in co-sponsoring this bill?
Right now, Tom, I'm working on the Republican co-leads. It's easy to get Democrats on it. But if we're going to get it passed, we need to make it bipartisan. I'm trying to be careful to point out that we're doing nothing to take guns away from people. We're doing nothing to fulfill that myth, that fantasy that Barack Obama wants to take away everyone's weapons. That's not in the game plan at all. We also want to make sure that we fulfill the NRA's objective, which is, let's keep guns out of the hands of criminals and out of the hands of the dangerously mentally ill.
What do you think the practical effects would be if these provisions do become law? What would what do you think ATF would be able to do that it can't do now?
Well, I think it'd be incremental, but I think you know what one of the things that the gun lobby, out of fear, has done progressively is to defund and weaken the ATF. And the leadership, contracting budgets, the TIAA amendments, which essentially takes away a lot of the tools that the ATF has. We want the ATF to be robust so they can protect America from the criminal users of guns, not the legitimate. Yeah, you know, I think the statistic is that something like, of the 350 million guns in America, only 0.1% were used in criminal activities last year. So let's go after those 0.1% and leave the rest of the folks alone.
Now, there's a pretty full agenda for Congress between now and, you could say, the election or whatever. It's a very difficult year. What do you think your realistic chances are of having this get any kind of a hearing or let alone a vote this year?
They're not great, Tom, this year. I mean, we, you know, by the middle of July, we're basically gone till the election. And then in the lame duck period, we will have lots and lots to do, including probably the Senate confirming a Supreme Court nominee and trying to get the big trade deal with the Pacific nations passed. But you know, the important things tend to take a couple of sessions. Having a few more Democrats in the House wouldn't help hurt either.
What does it look like while we have you on the budget negotiations in the House seem to be going in circles a little bit? What's it look like from the ground view of the 8th District?
It's a mixed blessing. There are some, you know, it looks like, unfortunately, we will be on a continuing resolution. Although some people aren't so sad to be on a continuing resolution, NASA included, because their budget's nice and robust at the $19.3 billion that they had last year. The dilemma, of course, is that Speaker Ryan, with the best of intentions, wanted to return to so-called regular order, a budget produced on time, spending bills that follow that budget, spending bills that merge with those in the Senate, rather than a desperate year-end omnibus bill just before Christmas so that everybody could go home. But I think we're on the way to the omnibus. And the challenge is not with the Democrats. I think the moderate Republicans and the Democrats could easily pass a budget. But with the so-called Hastert rule, Ryan's got to get a majority of the majority to agree. And with the Tea Party, that's not happening.
Now, you're in the middle of your second term, correct?
Just first term, Tom. First term.
How do you like it so far?
Oh, I like it very much. Yeah, I'm on the losing side of most votes. But it's important to play good defense, and it's important to take the long-term view. And the people are good. You know, Democrat and Republican, most of them are there for the right reason. They're generally friendly and easy to talk to. And we have, you know, significant differences in policies, but many people on both sides are trying to overcome this.
Congressman Don Beyer represents Virginia's 8th District. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, very much.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.